coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, Wednesday, the 27th day of March, 2024. I want to welcome everyone to today's show. A lot of things to get into. Have a special guest coming up at the top of the hour. I just want to touch on a couple of things here. 24-hour rule, of course. We really, unless it's like a 9/11 type of an event where, I mean, everything is happening. It's my policy not to really address in detail events such as what happened with the ship in the Baltimore Harbor. I'm going to be getting into that a lot, and I'm going to be giving you facts, not in, just the facts, but a lot of them. In addition to the facts, I'm going to give you some inside information from some people that one person I spoke to who knows pretty much what's going on. I'm not going to out this person, because if I did, I would not get any more information. And then I'm going to show you a video, actually a couple of videos, but I'm going to get right into it. I'm going to start by bringing your memories to about a year ago. We had that Chinese spy balloon incident, didn't we? It passed over the U.S., and of course, nothing was really said about it until somebody saw it flying over Montana, and then it wasn't shot down until it was in the Atlantic off the coast of the U.S. Around the same time, we had the East Palestine disaster, which is, that's a gift that keeps on giving. In the same period of time, and we spoke about this yesterday, J.D. Rucker, what a great guy, thelibertydaily.com. Folks, if you haven't done so, please bookmark that website. Great website. As a matter of fact, our interview is featured on his webpage. But it's a great aggregate of really important headlines, and the man behind the Liberty Daily, I can't say enough good about him. He's just a tremendous man. But when you look at the totality, the aggregate of things that are taking place, including the wildfires, including the fires and the explosions and the weird things taking place at the various food hubs. I'm talking about central food distribution and production facilities. I'm not talking about small farms, although that fires and stuff happen there. I'm talking about very important key select parts of our infrastructure. And take a look at our infrastructure in totality and what's taking place. Since Biden, by the way, since Biden became a resident of the Oval Office. Now, I say that because, look, Sun Tzu, the ancient Chinese strategist, pointed out that the supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. All right? It's an ancient concept. It remains central to modern China's approach to war. And that policy, Sun Tzu, his words guide the minds of today's Chinese leaders. And since 2006, by the way, every officer, every soldier, every sailor has been required to study or read Sun Tzu's book, The Art of War, as a textbook. This, of course, I'm talking about the Chinese, not Americans. They're too busy having drag queen hour. Okay. But in keeping with that approach, China's official military strategy focuses on in their words, of course, going after the United States, its soft underbelly. Now, everything I'm going to be talking about henceforth, I want you to think about that statement. In addition to our soft underbelly, going after our policies, our economy, very important, and the spirit and psychology of our people. Chinese leaders have coined new terms such as unrestricted warfare, which maybe not new, but new, a new way of deployment, and one other, disintegration warfare. And that describes Sun Tzu's old strategy of winning without fighting. And for several years, the Chinese military intelligence services have studied this disintegration warfare, that clearly building on Sun Tzu's ideas, of course, a specific admiral in the CCP, in the Chinese army, a specific admiral in the Japanese army, my apologies on this, spoke about this in detail and actually began teaching their military about the Chinese warfare tactics long before and even in a much better manner than our military. This disintegration warfare, the Chinese military in 2010 produced a book titled Disintegration Warfare that did feature Sun Tzu's To Subdue the Enemy Without Fighting is the acme of skill. Don't fire a bullet. Don't drop a bomb. And we are now seeing a hybrid war because of that. And I say that, and I've taken just so many notes. We have individuals who have been silent in the face of this war, including the entirety of the Biden family. You've got Mitch McConnell. You've got Obama, Gavin Newsom, and Adam Schiff, Eric Swalwell, just to name a few, but there's many, many more. And one of the things that they are quiet about or are disingenuous about, of course, is the southern border, the members of the Chinese Communist Party entering the United States, coming over from China, and also the drugs that are coming through, specifically the fentanyl that are coming through. Folks, I could show you a map. And because the CIA, the DOD, they have this map. The precursor chemicals go to Mexico, and from Mexico, they're assembled. Pill presses are sold in Mexico, or parts are brought into Mexico and then sold to the United States or brought across the border and used to kill our young men. And I've said this before, we have, as a matter of fact, the Mexicans, the cartels, call fentanyl El Diablo, which is obviously Mexican for the devil. In 2021, some 67,000 Americans died, and that is more than more deaths than combat casualties in Vietnam, in Iraq and Afghanistan combined. But that's just one of several fronts that they're fighting us on. I want to get right into this ship incident because I want to tell you exactly what I know. Now, yesterday at I'm going to start off with this. I'm going to give you a timeline. a ship, a 984-foot long, 157-foot wide ship titled Dali, D-A-L-I, left the port of Baltimore at 1:04 in the morning. This is yesterday morning now. At 1:24, and by the way, this is all recorded on webcams. I've seen the longer version, the 7-minute version of the video. I've seen actually the there's an hour before, there's hours afterwards, again from webcams. But these are matched up, synced up with the times on the webcam. So again, 1:04 a.m. The Dali leaves the Baltimore port, 22 crew members, 2 U.S. pilots, okay, that are operating the ship. Now, the ship itself, just to be clear, is Singapore flagged. It was chartered by Maersk. The owner is Grace Ocean, which is operated by Synergy Grove, and again chartered by Maersk. But again, this ship left the port of Baltimore at 1:04 a.m. At 1:24, it approaches the bridge. At 1:24 and 33 seconds, you could see on your screen, if you're watching this, and this is sped up, and this is courtesy of someone on social media, the attribution is on there, should be on there. But at 1:24 and 33 seconds, there was a power failure, complete power failure. At 1:25:31, that's almost a minute, full minute later, the lights flicker back on. At 1:26:37, which is more than a minute later, the lights go dark for a second time. So now we're talking roughly 20 minutes after leaving port. At 1:27 and 10 seconds, the lights come back on, and you can keep that looping as well, folks, so you can see this for yourself. And again, it's sped up, obviously. You can tell by the cars going across the bridge, but it is sped up, so you can see this. At 1:28 and 48 seconds, let me go backwards here. At 1:26:36, the lights go dark again the second time. At 1:27, which is 33 seconds after the lights went dark the second time, you can see where the front of the ship, collides with a pier that is near the bridge. You can tell by the ripple or the disturbance in the water, as well as by watching the ship. At 1:27 and 10 seconds later, the lights come back on. At 1:28:48, which is really a full minute, a minute and 48 seconds after the collision, the initial collision with the pier. Between 1:27:10 and 1:28:48, it strikes the upright of the bridge, and at 1:28:48 a.m., the roadway collapses. At 1:29 on the dot, the entirety of the bridge falls into the water, actually completes the descent into the water, along with everything on the bridge. At 1:40, now this is 11 minutes later, the Baltimore Fire Department was dispatched to the scene. They arrived at 1:50 at the shore near the harbor in response to the call at 1:40. Now,
they're just going to watch from there?
Well, at that time, they did alert their search and rescue teams, dive teams and such. There was some communication, it's my understanding, with the Coast Guard as well during that time period. Now, the ship did issue...
Which would be understaffed at that time, correct?
Who would be understaffed?
Coast Guard.
That's one thing I didn't ask and I didn't get into. I don't know. I don't know, but... You know, people say, well, if this was a terrorist attack, for example, you wouldn't do it at 1 a.m. But at 1 a.m, you have to understand, when you've got two pilots and 22 crew members, one of the mitigating things one can do is drop anchor. There are various things. If you've got all hands on deck, there are some certain things you can do to mitigate a potential disaster. But when you've got 22 crew members at 1 a.m, either sleeping or at their bunks, having to traverse the length and the breadth of the ship, things may not happen in the way you'd want them to happen. So in a sense, if you want to, for example, use like an EMP or take over, hit a ship or whatever with respect to taking over the GPS system of the ship. We know that can happen because of the electronics on board. You're going to want to do it when the crew is not necessarily up to or at the ready with respect to employing factors to mitigate a collision. And if you notice as well, that ship at the time was traveling at 9 miles per hour and took a hard, hard right turn from its course, which was straight and appeared perhaps to be on path to miss the upright, but it took a hard right. Did you happen to see that? Was that pretty clear in that video, Eric, the tech? What do you think? I mean, did it look that way? Did it look like it steered into the upright?
Yeah.
That angle is a little bit difficult to see. There are two other angles that are available, and it's interesting. One of the better angles, although others have reposted it on social media, has disappeared from a couple of websites. And I'm not going to tell you the names of the websites only because I don't want to give away what I know right now. Okay, which, folks, there's no... Look, I don't want to make myself out to... Like, I know stuff, really important stuff.
My biggest takeaway from it was the smokestack.
Okay, there was... Yeah, and I didn't mention that as well. There was like billowing of black smoke. It was after the first lights out.
Almost like it was accelerating.
Correct. Some posit that could have been a diesel generator providing alternate power. I don't have any information on that, so I'm not going to really comment on that. But very interesting observation. You can see in this particular clip, I think you'll be able to see the black smoke. There it is right there. You can see it coming out of the rear portion of that vessel. And again, we're talking about the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It's 1.6 miles in length. Folks, if you don't think this is important, or if you think, this really not a lot to this. This really wouldn't be a great terrorist target. It's... 1.6 miles in length. In terms of its significance, obviously, Francis Scott Key back in 1812 wrote the Star-Spangled Banner. In that in that area from the lower portion of a ship during the war of 1812. Okay, so you have this ship named Dali, D-A-L-I, 984 feet long, 157 feet wide. Flagged by Singapore, departing at 1 o'clock. And of course, the entire whole thing took about 28 minutes from start to finish. The weather was calm. Where that ship is right there, where that bridge is right there, is about 50 feet of water. The water temperature at the time was 47 degrees. Pretty cold, actually, if you happen to fall in there. Its destination was to Colombo, Sri Lanka. Again, under the Singapore flag. So what about the port? The port's the second largest seaport in the mid-Atlantic region. That port handles more than $80 billion, $80 billion in imports and exports. At least it did in 2023. And that set a 20-year record, by the way. The U.S., that's the busiest port in the United States for, Eric, you're going to love this. You want to take a guess of what it imports, the biggest import?
I would guess food.
No, you're well.
Gas, oil.
Yes, yes, yes. But autos,
illegals,
illegals. You gotta wonder too what were in those containers. But no, I won't. You're correct on all of those. The illegals, I'm not so sure, but no autos. Okay. There were 847,158 autos and light trucks imported through that port last year. That's almost a million vehicles, gas-powered vehicles imported through that port last year.
Do you know what brands?
Yes, I do. Funny you should ask. Did you not know that? Okay. Let me just say this. Your Land Rover is going to be late.
I'd assume this encompasses all brands because parts probably come on that too.
Parts do come on that, but let me tell you the primary brands. You've got, let me see here.
Honda.
See, I can barely read my own writing, folks, if you can. I'm scratching stuff out here. General Motors, Land Rover, Jaguar. Ooh, ouch, that hurts me. Nissan, Toyota, and Volkswagen. Also, 1.3 million tons of construction equipment and farm machinery were delivered through that port last year. And now some people out there might have a problem with this. That port was also going to be the home again or new home to Norwegian Cruise Lines, which is scheduled to leave port for New England, Canada, Bermuda, and the Caribbean in the fall. That's not going to happen. All right. So, were you surprised?
The Beach Boys are going to have to rewrite Kokomo.
There you go. That's right. Okay. So, in addition to the vehicles, you are correct, too, on the food. You have agricultural machinery, as I mentioned, fertilizers, gypsum, which also is not just for fertilizers, but for drywall and for other construction needs. Salt, sugar, and gypsum. And that's the sixth largest port, busiest port for importing coffee. Boy, does that get me riled up. But also refined fuels, you were correct as well. Liquid natural gas, coal. So you've got a very important port. Again, leading the nation in auto imports, the second largest coal exporter as well as importer, but exporter in the U.S. And we can expect an adverse impact, in fact, on Pennsylvania as well, my state, based on the presence of Consol Energy here in Pennsylvania. Their, by the way, their shares after this happened fell 7%. That's a coal exporter. Okay, coal mining facility and what have you. All right. So to the people who are saying, well, this is just a bridge and it really doesn't make any difference. Well, this is a very key part of the I-95 corridor. I want to give you the facts on this. And maybe they're boring.
Could you imagine having a job and you had to go across that bridge to get to your job? So 15 minutes is now 2.5 hours to get around.
Which, exactly. Now, this creates an entire huge problem for trucks carrying dangerous hazmat, you know, stuff, things that ignite wide loads and whatever. They can't go through the tunnels. So they're going to have to go through Baltimore in part or find another route, which is going to be more expensive, more costly, obviously more timely. So
I mean, they've got to have like a ferry system set up now.
Not yet.
But that's going to take time.
Like, not yet.
You got to, if you're going to do that many vehicles across, like,
yes,
it'll take time to build, almost half the time to build the bridge.
But this is, by the way, this is America. And what Biden and his people and Buttigieg and all those morons said, you know, we're Americans. We should be able to get this done like right effing now. Build a new bridge right now and say F you to everyone else. Build the bridge.
China builds bridges over water in 2 days.
Exactly. They build friggin' islands. And we can't build a bridge. Look, this bridge was built in 1974. It was completed in 77. I think it was March or May of 77. It was completed. But we can do that in half the time. But see, we don't have the steel. We don't have the manufacturing capabilities because, of course, where's everything being made? In China. Who are we at war with? China.
It takes us 3 to 6 months to just build a viaduct.
There it is. Give me, hey, load me up with dynamite, a few sticks, and, you know, give me a match and stand back. I'll make you a viaduct. I'll make you a few. And think about the port itself. Folks, the impact on our economy, that area, an already blighted area of Baltimore. Do you know how many people were employed, directly employed, or was contingent upon port operations there? 15,300 people. 15,300.
That's going to hurt.
Oh, it's going to hurt. And how about indirectly employed? 14,000 jobs indirectly employed. Tax-wise, what's the county going to lose in taxes? $400 million. Every year it's down, not operational. Folks, this, okay, I'm opened up with the talking about Sun Tzu, The Art of War. This, like Laura Logan says, is death by a thousand cuts. I want to play this. Laura Logan, who I have a lot of respect for, and she got a lot of heat on this. And I just want to say to the people who've given her heat, Suck it, because she's 100% accurate. I don't care if you don't like her. I don't care.
How could you not like her?
Exactly. Well, she shows cleavage. She's this. She's that. You know what? Bite me. Okay. She's got the inside. I know some of the people she knows, and some of the people she knows won't even talk to me. Okay. Well, not the. But
if she has cleavage and you can't control yourself, then that's the issue.
Well, exactly. You know, I can't. The last time she was on, I can't believe somebody sent me an email complaining about that. Of all the things, really, that's what you're going to bitch about? Get a friggin' life, you morons. All right. We are talking, folks, about right now we are under attack. And let me ask you a question. Yesterday morning, right after sunrise, the FBI came out, DHS came out and said what? Eric the Tech. What'd they say? Yesterday morning, the FBI, DHS, Buttigieg and company.
I don't know. What'd they say?
Oh, man. Wasn't nothing to do with terrorism. It wasn't a terrorist attack.
Oh, imagine that.
Just like they said with the Maui fires. Just like they said with East Palestine.
We call those 10-minute investigations.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing. They didn't say that with East Palestine. They didn't say that with the Maui fires. But they did yesterday. That bothered the hell out of me. They said nothing with the other, with all the other fires. All, but yesterday they came around, oh, nope, it's not terrorism. Not terrorism. Here's Laura Logan with Steve Bannon. You know, play as much of this as possible. Ross Story, I think, had a paper calling her a loon and a conspiracy theory. Okay, a theorist. Okay, look, if that's what you think, if that's what anyone thinks, if you don't think I'm not saying this was terrorism. I'm not saying somebody actually hijacked the electronics of the boat and did this. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that something happened where this was intentional. I'm not saying that. But for crying out loud, you have two seasoned pilots. Union pilots, I might add. Just think about that.
Might be really rich right now.
Maybe. Something else to think about. Something else to investigate. But, you know, I want to know when we look at all of this, I want to know the facts. By the way, the bridge was inspected, or the ship, let me just, because I even went into the inspection records. The ship, the Dolly was inspected, was put in service in 2016, was inspected in 2017. There were some 27, roughly, suggested upgrades to the ship, but
which is probably normal.
Yeah, but there were two out of the 27 suggested fixes, or you know, suggestions to fix this or tweak that. There were two that caught my attention. There was a propulsion issue. And there was an auxiliary machinery issue. Now, the auxiliary machinery could have something to do with the container, or not the container, but the how once the containers are on the ship, how they are secured. But the propulsion issue was interesting, and there was nothing else beyond that. That was in June of 2023.
It's like Chinese violations, Chinese food violations.
Yeah.
We still eat it.
Yeah. Pigeon happened still to fall in there. You want some kung pao? Okay. Which is why I don't eat Chinese food. I don't like that, right? And now, the bridge was inspected as well. Every 24 months, that bridge had to be inspected. It was inspected in May of 2021, and out of 10, it scored a 6 in terms of its roadworthiness, structure, all of this, not bad. And the same thing again in the summer of last year, 24 months later. And I found it interesting, there were some dueling reports about that second inspection of the bridge. Some said, well, it really wasn't inspected. And then others said, yes, it was. But regardless, it doesn't really matter. I just want to put that out there because, again, I'm looking at all of the facts. Let me just make sure I got everything here in terms of – Yeah, I'm pretty sure I got everything here.
If you didn't, Laura's got you.
All right, let's tune in to Laura. Listen to this, folks, and please pay very close attention to everything she says, because I'm going to tell you right now, she's 100% dead nuts accurate. Go ahead.
Okay, welcome back. Dave Walsh is going to hang with me. We got a timing issue with Laura Logan. She joins us right now. Laura, you've been on fire. I saw the Gateway Pundit piece that talked about what you're coming out with. We've had a Posobiec. Look, as a naval officer, I can tell you, something is not right about this situation. I don't. They got pilots, the most professional guys around. I don't know how they steered it at 8 knots right into the foundational element of the bridge. They could have dropped anchor. They should have had backup systems. You say there may be something. Here's the other thing that's concerned me. Why they run to the mic, had McCabe on this morning on at sunrise on CNN saying it's not terrorism, it's not terrorism, it's not it might not be terrorism. But why do you come to the mic right away? These are the type, we need facts, we need empirical evidence, we need an investigation. What is your investigation telling you?
Well, I have a better question for you, Steve. Why are you coming to the mic telling the country that it's not terrorism when your own intelligence agencies are telling you it is? And I know they are, because I didn't make this up. These are not my words. Right. I'm talking to people who are on the inside, some who are on active duty, some who are retired, and everyone, literally from critical infrastructure in Department of Homeland Security to the intelligence agencies, they know there's no other. This is a cyber attack on a critical infrastructure corridor for the United States. This is, you know, for those people who think this is just a river, this is in Baltimore, what does this matter? You don't know anything about what you're talking about. This, the I-94 corridor on the eastern seaboard, is literally what connects the north and south. And when I talk about hazardous materials, right, this is a brilliant, well-planned strategic attack on one of the most important supply chains in the United States of America. The only other one is in the western side in California. That's the only one that's busier. And what you have done is you now have shut it down. And when I talk about hazardous materials, what are we talking about here? This is refined fuels, right? This is propane gas. This is diesel. This is fuel. This is flammable materials. This is oversized loads, nitrogen, chemicals. Everything that you need for your economy to move has literally just been shut down for 4 to 5 years. And how did they do it? They knew that they had to target one of two main anchor points on that bridge. There are two load-bearing pylons that any structural engineer can identify that are on the end of each side of the bridge. These are the ones that are thicker and stronger than anything else on that bridge. And when you hit one of those pylons, when you take that out, the reason you see so much of that bridge collapse instantly is you just brought 50% of the span of that bridge coming crumbling down. And what you don't see beneath the surface of the water, Steve, is absolutely catastrophic. It is a structural nightmare and a logistical nightmare, because you have the entire bottom part, the concrete part of that bridge, and you don't know the extent of the structural damage to that. And you won't know it until you pull all of that infrastructure out of there and you get to look at it. And so you're talking 3 to 5 years at best. And what you're talking about here is probably building a new bridge. So what you have effectively done now, you've shut down the I-95 corridor that's above ground. So now you're going to have to go north to New York. You're going to have to go south to North Carolina. And your trucks, your hazardous materials are going to have to go around Baltimore now. They're not going to be able to go through it. And what else did you do? You shut down the sea corridor, the shipping corridor, because now the port is shut down, right? And so all those tankers that are out at sea that have hazardous materials on them, those are going to have to all be rerouted. And why can you not move hazardous materials through the tunnel? Why is this such a big deal? Because they created that bridge because hazardous materials, for example, oversized loads, they don't fit in the tunnel system. Yep. And there's other loads that are so dangerous that they require a permit. It takes time to get a permit. It costs money to get a permit. It requires an escort, right? You've seen it on the highway sometimes. You've seen when you have these massive oversized loads and they've got escorts all around them, these huge convoys. Well, what do you do on one of the busiest corridors in the United States? You don't shut it down in the day so this can happen. That means you can only move this stuff at night, which automatically impacts the amount of traffic that you can use. The tunnel is going to be overloaded. This is what you call death by a thousand cuts. It is an absolutely catastrophic attack on critical infrastructure, and you cannot see it because a cyber attack is unseen. Just like the attack on 2020 on the voting machine that you cannot see.
Okay, I want to go. You just had this big thing with the FBI talking about the, what the Chinese Communist Party's cyber hacking unit that they've been monitoring for 10 years, and now they're saying it's out of control. Are your sources telling you that they feel that there's enough information out there that it is a cyber attack, and is it a state actor or non-state actors?
100%, yes. They are saying that this is a cyber attack. You didn't have a terrorist group board the ship and commandeer it and take it over. You had somebody take hack into the systems on board the ship, the GPS system, and reroute that ship. They did it in the middle of the night because they didn't want the crew to be awake. They didn't want everybody to be on full high alert. They wanted everybody to be asleep and you trying to wake people up and rouse people. Because when I spoke to one individual who knows, who has, let's just say he worked in Baltimore for many, many years and was there when that bridge was opened. He knew when he looked at the security camera video of the harbor, the long version, the 7 minutes, he knew from the start of that video when he looked at that ship that it was not in the channel. You need to be in the channel to make that turn, to have any chance of making that turn. So now you're traveling. That is a river that flows pretty quickly, Steve, even under normal circumstances, right? And at a certain point, you're committed. That ship is heavy. The load is heavy. The water is flowing at a certain speed. You've got very little room to maneuver. So at a certain point, there was absolutely nothing that they could do to stop that ship from the course that it was on because they were not in control of it. And they had all of these other factors coming into play. So when terrorism and counterterrorism experts look at this, when people who know critical infrastructure, when, you know, there's a number of different people that I've spoken to, cyber people, when they look at it, they know exactly what they're looking at. And so it's extraordinary that anybody could come out now when they haven't had time to do an investigation, when I know for a fact that they're getting people inside their agencies that are telling them what they're telling me, and they're making public statements that completely contradict what anybody who knows this terrain, who knows it, and I don't just mean the physical terrain, I mean the cyber terrain and the terrorism terrain and the, you know, and the critical infrastructure terrain and all of that. I mean, I've talked to people whose job after 9/11 was to identify, if you were Al-Qaeda and you wanted to capitalize on that attack, how would you do it? They were the people that came up with the term death by a thousand cuts. And what you're looking at now is exactly what they feared terrorist groups would do to really exploit the advantage that they had after 9/11. Because you are bringing the United States to its knees step by step from within.
All right. We can cut it right there. Folks, that goes on. I urge you to watch the entire video. Because again, it goes on, but in deference, I don't want to keep my guest waiting. But I do want to get his take on this as well. The insurance company at risk here is the Chubb Group. In fact, one of my former clients, I've got one thing I forgot to say as well, giving you all of the numbers. That port consists of 12 private ports as well as 5 state-owned terminals. All right. Now, in 2023, the private terminals handled 52.3 million tons of foreign cargo. And that's up from 44.2 million tons in 2019. And the total value of that cargo exceeded $80 billion. And like I said, the vehicles, especially from GM to Jaguar to Land Rover, Nissan, Toyota, VW, biggest importer. And the number, again, just in case you missed it, number of autos and light trucks imported just last year, 847,158. And that's quite a few more than I can drive. So there is that. Hopefully that made sense to you from start to finish.
And that's C-H-U-B-B?
Yeah, the Chubb Group, C-H-U-B-B.
Out of Zurich?
Yeah, I believe so. And of course, there's going to be subrogation out the wazoo, I'm sure, coming up. It's going to take a while. So don't hold your breath on payment, I'm telling you. And my guest, folks, you know who this is. I'm going to tell you right now, if you haven't done so already, in addition to like being just so knowledgeable about world events and about how world events can impact your financial security, your future, you know, we don't have to sit back and suffer, right? We can actually learn how to manipulate, mitigate issues so it doesn't impact us. We can learn that. TradeGeniusAcademy.com. And the man behind that is Bob Kudla. He's the founder and president of Trade Genius Academy. Before that, Bob was an executive for two Fortune 500 companies in financial services, in the financial services industry for 25 years. He's focused on business development and mergers and acquisitions. Bob's got a, he's been trading since 1991, the year I was born. And I'm kidding, of course. And in 2008, Bob started his first trading service with his private group of friends. You know what? He became so popular that he decided to take it public and turn it into a business. Enter Trade Genius in 2015. His strength is that he's able to see around the corners and position his trades into the right markets and sectors. And for the past 5 years, and a little more than that, he's been able to track a 65% overall win record in the market. And when things like this happen, you know, he can advise all of us, of course, or he can, Trade Genius Academy can help you help yourself figure out, man, what should I do? And the other thing too that I didn't mention, I'll just real quick mention and bring Bob right on, is let's not forget, and I was watching this close, DJT came went on NASDAQ yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah, I think it was yesterday. And of course, that's Donald Trump's Truth Social platform. And it seems to be going great guns. So I want to get his take on that as well. Bob Kudla, thank you for your patience. I'm sorry to cut into your time. I appreciate you being with me and giving us your insight on everything. And I appreciate what you do with Trade Genius Academy. Sir, good to see you.
Oh, thanks for having me. Interesting discussion so far.
Well, Bob, if I can impose upon you, what do you think about what happened with the ship? If you want to offer, you know, your speculation or informed whatever, and equally important, what are the financial ramifications going to come of this? Do you think?
Yeah, so I'll give you my tinfoil hat real quick and. Okay. We don't have to, elaborate on it. But okay. You guys remember when the United States went ahead and we hacked the chips that go into the accelerators for nuclear material in Iran, and we made them spin faster than they were supposed to spin, basically destroying them.
Correct.
So So when you can hack machine chips inside systems. That's why everybody's so worried about our electric grid. Well, I'm sure that ship was full of chips that were easily be able to have malware in them and easily to place it in there. You know, anybody can get a job on there. You know, anybody could have been have access to that ship during any kind of retrofit. So I find it quite odd, you know, that you couldn't have bowled a better strike if you tried. And exactly. that thing. And they hit perfectly. So I'm absolutely in the camp of, you know, be careful what you wish for. Some of this stuff comes back to you. And I put this in a category, not of a black swan event. I put it in a category of you can't brush this off. in a day or two. So now, having said all that, they'll have that channel cleared within 30 days. Okay. The Navy has equipment that can clear that, because in war, you have obviously ports that get blown up. And so they're easily able to clear those ports to allow, material to come in to support war efforts. So you got the Army Corps of Engineers, you got the Navy, they'll have that stuff moved out of there. That port will be operational within 30 to 45 days. The bridge is a different situation. You know, what's likely to happen is that they'll probably have ferries running to run the trucks across and reconnect to the bridge entrance points until they can rebuild a bridge, and they'll have to rebuild a bridge. And who knows, maybe they'll just do a tunnel next time. I don't know. But because it's hazardous cargo, they'll probably do another bridge. But the spans are different now. They could span that thing right across without even touching the water. You guys remember in Tampa, when they hit the abutment in Tampa, they built that brand new Skyway Bridge. So that's probably what's likely to happen. And so in terms of, like, is this going to destroy the United States? No. Is it going to be, Laura Logan said, 1,000 cuts? Yes. It's going to be major inconvenience for people for, you know, quite a bit of time. Now, in terms of Chubb has a maximum amount of payout for their losses. You know, you just can't sue the insurance company for your total loss, right? So those coverages have maximum payout. And the other thing Chubb has done is they sold get recoverage on those insurance policies too. So that risk is spread out amongst a lot of different companies, pension funds, whoever else that took the premiums on that. So that'll all get absorbed. Now the only thing I'll say is that, you know, if it happens one time, it's an accident. If it happens two times, it's terrorism, just like the World Trade Center. So I believe it is. You'll never get the truth out of these people. So it'd be pointless to speculate. But in terms of the stock market didn't even give one iota of a care about it. So, look, you're going to need an event like a dirty bomb dropping in one of these cities, all right, or, you know, to move the stock market on a terrorism. The United States is too broadly spread, but we do have choke points. So you're going to have to see multiple events like that to cause the stock market or the financial system or the economy to really suffer from it. It's just going to be a major inconvenience. The interesting thing to me is to see if the Biden administration has the wherewithal to rally resources to fix this. You know, all eyes will be on them. And Baltimore, Washington is a Democrat stronghold. And so if he can't fix it for his own peeps, then she just shows the world another side of their incompetence.
Bob, that's why I love you, man. What a great overview of things. And I agree. By the way, the governor of Maryland, along with the mayor, they were acting like they were on The View yesterday or on Oprah or something. Just the woe was me stuff. I just thought it was a poor performance by the public officials. And it certainly didn't give me the warm fuzzies. But all right, I appreciate your insight on that. Very important, folks. And you know what? As Dan Bongino says, he's long on America, and you know, I am too. I'm long on America. I really am. We're Americans. We can get shit done. We can get things built. So anyway, to you, sir. And folks, TradeGeniusAcademy.com. Folks, TradeGeniusAcademy.com. Bookmark that website. Link is in the program description box below. And folks, take advantage of their specials, their spring specials. I'm telling you right now, it's well worth its weight in gold. And I do mean that. Again, TradeGeniusAcademy.com. Bob, where do you want to go? I mean, don't say Hawaii.
Well, you know, Well, I just got back from Tahiti, so
did you really?
A little humble brag there, yeah. So, we're in the midst of what I call the Great Rotation. So we've had financial assets have been pumped pretty hard since 2014. They've suppressed the commodity sectors pretty hard to keep inflation, under control, if you will. You know, they pulled out all the tricks to suppress gold, suppress silver, suppress energy names, and for the most part, they've been successful for nearly a decade. But at the end of 2022, 2023, all that started to unravel. You got a 300% move in Bitcoin in that time. Oil is now stuck in the 80s. At one point, they were calling for $45 oil. That's out the window. We're probably getting closer to $90 by summertime. The crack spreads, the gasoline are blowing out. So ergo, the energy stocks have been just lighting it up. And we've talked about this before. That's where the money is being made right now in the commodity sector. The only thing left on the tech side is you're still playing games with NVIDIA and SMCI, but they're starting to form head and shoulder patterns. So we're going to get a rotation out of tech and we're going to rotate into commodities. This has happened before, Dave. And so the 70s and in the early 2000, 2001, where we rotated out of tech, we rotated into energy in the 70s, gold in the 70s. And in 2000, we had an energy move and a gold move as well. These are usually 4 to 5 year moves. And so they're secular. So that's what we're seeing. That's what we want. That's where we're trading. That's where we're making money. And I should have sent you a bunch of attaboys. I'll send you over afterwards. You can put them on if you want. But we're making life-changing trades for people right now. And normally I'm not that ebullient about our services, but we've caught this move. We're in this move, and this move is not going to end anytime soon unless Biden and Yellen get religion and they try to balance the budget, which we know they absolutely have zero desire to do. So this move has legs to it, and you're going to need the money because the inflation rate is increasing. They basically have given up trying to keep inflation down under their quote-unquote their 2% number. That number is closer to 9%. Last year it was closer to 18%. And so we're basically going to crush the middle class in this country, probably by design. But you don't have to be a victim. Own these stocks so you can outrun inflation.
Okay. Now, so this brings me into the point where I think since the last time you were on versus right now, by the way, I was out of the state last month. Folks, had you taken advantage of the training course offers at TradeGeniusAcademy.com, you yourself could be, you could have made money. And hearing you say what you just said, I think a lot of people might be missing out if they don't take advantage of going to TradeGeniusAcademy.com and signing up for the courses, and especially where they can speak with you and converse. When I say speak or communicate with you, and just take advantage of everything. Again, folks, TradeGeniusAcademy.com. So you're really, I mean, you're helping people make money even in these really crazy times.
Yeah, and just to clarify too is that, we're more than an academy. We actually provide trades for people every day. And we also have a chat room. We also give people access to our algorithm. So plus we train people. So we actually help you make money. We're not one of those people who say, here, buy our stuff. Good luck to you. We actually help you make money trading every day. And I'll give you an example. You were talking about True Social yesterday. It's difficult to buy these either IPOs or these switches to new because they gap up on you, and you just don't want to be caught as it tries to fill the gap. So you got to let that settle down. But what we did immediately yesterday is we bought Rumble. And so we did a day trade for our subscribers, And they make anywhere between 7% and 15% in a couple hours on a trade. So that's the kind of, you know, insight that we have. Our algorithm flagged it, and we caught that move. We had another move with another contract drilling company, energy name. That trade's still active. It's up 18%. We got into that 3 days ago. And so the list goes on and on. So we have the ability to see the trades. We give you the ability to see your own trades, and then we help you, you know, take trades if you're not confident yet in your abilities to use our system. So that's what we do. And I sent you some attaboys while we're talking here. And one of the funny ones that came up, the guy goes, you know, it's not gambling if you know you're going to win. And that's what he sent me in a big attaboy on some of the trades we gave these guys, because the algorithm helps you get on the right side of the trades. And so with that, you know, you talk about True Social. True Social went ahead and broke out of a rectangle that was, it hit a high. So, and now it's going to probably consolidate for a little bit, and then you're going to go ahead and you're going to probably see that range, if you will, for a while. But we're going into the silly season on politics, and you know the more Trump is out there, the higher True Social is going to go. Rumble reports tonight. We're talking on Wednesday, so I'm not really sure what much of a coattail they'll have, but they should do okay because they're going to get political dollars, you know, advertising in there. So I would say Rumble, you know, from Rumble and True Social will probably be good trades. You just can't buy when these things pop like this. It's called FOMO. There's a lot of people panicking in on True Social right now. It's likely to come back down a little bit. You want to buy that dip. You don't want to chase it. And if you miss it, you miss it. That's just the first rule of trading, is don't chase stocks. You'll usually get burned. So let it come back down. Some people will take profit from this. And in 6 months, you know, whenever Trump's lockup is out, he's going to probably cash out some. That's what you do. And it'll probably cause another dip in True Social. But it's going to be a fun trading stock between now and the election.
Wow. Okay. Folks, I just learned a few things just in that brief discourse there. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. And what does FOMO stand for? It's an acronym for?
Fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out. There it is.
Yeah. It's probably the, other than not setting a stop on your trade, is probably one of the biggest ways you can lose money, because that's how the big money traps the small money, or the smart money traps the dumb money. You get on CNBC and you get a guy there flagging the stock, right? This stock's the best thing ever. You got to get it. It gapped up. So everybody rushes in. And in the meantime, all the insiders are selling to you. Just remember, if you're buying something, somebody's selling it to you. All right. And somebody's flagging these stocks on CNBC and elsewhere, is that if this stock was such a great stock, they wouldn't be selling it, right? You know, they wouldn't be talking about it. They want to sell it to you. And the same thing on the buy side. You know, how often did they poo-poo Bitcoin? It's going to zero. This thing's fraud. Fiber. In the meantime, they're all loading up on Bitcoin, and it goes up 300%. So the best rule of thumb is, if you see something on TV and they tell you to buy, you should be looking for reasons to sell, and vice versa, you know. But we don't even look at the news. I couldn't even tell you the news. I just look at the algorithm.
That's the genius, I think, of you, because you know, I mean, folks, Bob Kudla knows exactly what he's doing. Trade Genius Academy is your vehicle. And here's the way I look at it. And Bob, please tell me if I'm not saying this properly or if I'm misstating this. But I want to do is I want to make enough money to stay ahead of the inflation. I don't want to get hurt necessarily. I don't want to bleed too much when I go to the grocery store or fill up my tank. So I can't stick the money in the bank because obviously I'm losing out. I can't put it in my mattress. I've got to put it somewhere. So that's kind of why I do what I do. Is that a fair statement to say? And that's what you help people to stay ahead of that bleeding out part in times like these, and even in good times.
Yeah. So, you know, the analogy I always give people, you probably heard this story, you know, you and I are walking in the woods and we come across a mountain lion and he's hungry and we start jogging away, but I sit down and I put on my sneakers and you say, Bob, you can't outrun the mountain lion. I said, I don't have to. I just have to outrun you. And so that's how we look at it. You know, you don't have to go crazy to try to catch next NVDA and stuff like that. You just want to be in the sectors that will outperform. Remember, the rich people want to get rich. And so they're always going to find a bull market somewhere. And so those bull markets tend to outperform GDP and they outperform inflation rates. So just get in those sectors. And once you're in those sectors, then you want to be buying those dips when those algorithms are telling you that there's another cycle up in the stock price, because the way the stock market works, as everybody knows, you just have to look at it. It's like a sine wave, right? It just doesn't go straight in one direction. You get, you know, fear and greed is very real in the market. So you let it get a dip, and as long as it's channeling and trending the right way, and we have an algorithm for that. We have a buy the dip, sell the rip algorithm that tells you whether or not you should be, you're trading with the trend or you're not. And then we have an algorithm that tells you when it's the highest probability to get in on that trade. And then all you do then is manage the trade, because, you know, it's never 100%. But if you win 2 out of 3 times and you get what's called a positive profit factor, which means that when you win on a trade, you're making more money than when you lose on a trade, the money you lost. And over time, you build wealth that way. And so if you're in the right sector with the right channel direction, buying it at the right price, you're setting yourself up perfectly, you know, for long-term wealth gains. And so that's our whole thesis behind it. That's what we built. You know, we call it, you know, being in the middle 60 of a move. You don't have to be on the bleeding edge, and you absolutely don't want to chase. And so if you just follow those disciplines and then set a stop, because, you know, these algorithms aren't perfect. When the algorithm's wrong, you take a paper cut, you move on, you go off to the next trade. And that's simply how we do it. We basically codified it. We made it visual, and you have to be able to set alerts on it. And like I said, we put trades out too. And so, you know, right now we're heavy in the energy. We're heavy in the gold and silver miners. Gold's going to 2,500. Okay. I haven't looked at silver for a silver price, but silver will percentage-wise outperform gold in this environment. Copper starting to move. And like I said, oil will probably get to the high 80s, low 90s. The only thing that's not moving yet, the only thing that's super undervalued that really hasn't taken off yet is natural gas. But at some point when they start shutting off the wells, natural gas will go up 300-400%. From its lows here. So that's an opportunity we're looking at now. Yeah. And then real quick too, I know I'm monologuing here a little bit, but
no, please.
You know, there are certain trades out there that are super risk adverse that you can make a double digit yields on. And I'll just give you one. As long as energy is moving, and I own this one, I own ExxonMobil. That's our family's biggest position. I sell calls against it. I get the dividend. I'm creating what's called a synthetic yield from that. But they also created a stock symbol called XOMO, which is yielding 15%. Okay. You don't have to do anything but collect it. And I believe, let me just double check here. I have a chart up here while I'm talking to you. I think it's a monthly payout. Let me just double check while I'm talking.
Okay. And while you're checking, folks, again, the website is TradeGeniusAcademy.com. And please take advantage of the different packages, the specials. Bob and his crew have been extremely generous for all of us. Plus, you know, it's a lot, I don't know, having someone there with you that you can communicate with, especially when you're not 100% sure what you might be doing, or even if you are, man, It makes all the difference in the world. TradeGeniusAcademy.com. And that's why I like this, because I can, I don't feel alone. So, okay.
Yeah. And you know, that's my job to kind of help you along here. But, you know, but ExxonMobil has a great trade. There's a freebie for you guys, you know, take advantage of it. There's one for gold that has a yield too. And there's one for bonds, there's a yield. The way the market toggles, if interest rates stay elevated, energy stays elevated. If interest rates start to fall, then the bonds are the place to put your money. And if both are falling, then there's a way in which you can short the NASDAQ, which will make the most money. So no matter what the scenario, the macro environment is, our algorithms will see it and we'll rotate over to those sectors. But we're really getting to the end here. This is like what's happened 2002, 2006, or 2000 to 2002, where tech's down, energy's up. And I think that's the environment we're in right now. There's a lot of talk about, are we going to get a crack up boom in the market? That's possible because of all the liquidity, which means all the government money, all the bank money that's been rolling into the stock market. But after that, you're going to get a pretty severe correction. And most people will be caught with their pants down because they've trained people for the last 10 years just to buy the dip. And then this time will probably be a 30 to 45% correction in the market. And most people won't avoid it, which is going to be a shame. And we have triggers that will tell us whether or not that's going to happen. And these aren't dark secrets. These are well-known things. People just choose to ignore them. And we don't. That's why we created a system. It keeps me honest with myself, so I don't talk myself into and out of trades, the algorithm. And we just had this conversation with our subscribers this morning. You know, you see trade, you take the trade, period. And then you manage the trade. Instead of see trade, or should I take the trade? Should I take the trade? It'd probably go back up trade, and then you end up losing money. So we trust our algorithm. It's been working for a long time. Doesn't matter what market, what time frame, math works, and so we trust the math.
I've got to ask this question because somebody had sent me an email. Now, this is probably, it's a number of weeks ago that I got this email. It might have been right after you were on, I'll just give it to you in one sentence question. In this environment, or in when you're trading, do minutes count? In other words, I mean, is this something, when you said, when you see a trade, take a trade, but do minutes count? Or, I mean.
Well, only for day traders, you know, if a stock's going to 50 to 70 and, you know, in that 1 minute you don't do it, it goes to 52. Does it really matter? No. You know, if you're trading it from 50 to 52, it matters tremendously. But I will tell you, 80 to 85% of people don't trade that way. You know, people either are swing trading, which mean they're in and out between 3 days and 3 weeks, or there's what I call secular trading. And so okay. I rarely day trade. I got a day trade on today just because it's the setup for the Easter week. But for the most part, I don't day trade. You know, I'll be in trades from, you know, basically our average hold is 3 days. And yeah, you can miss a little bit on the move. But, you know, I always tell people, you know, when I put a signal out, if it's anywhere reasonably close in the first 5 minutes, just go ahead and grab it. You know, but like I said, you know, ExxonMobil danced around $100, $102 for weeks, and now it's at $115. So that doesn't matter as much about just practicing good trade management skills. You'll make money over time. Even if you don't even use my service, if you just listen to what I said, you'll make more money than most other people.
Interesting. Oh, okay. Wow. With the interest rates where they're at, what do we need to know about this, about the interest rates? Does the deficit the debt, does that matter in the bigger picture of things? I mean, should the average person like me, should I be really concerned about this in the context of my trades?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So we'll never default on our debt because we could just monetize it, right? But what does monetization mean? It means inflation. So that's why you want to have inflation protected assets right now. And that's what they're doing to you. They're basically going to boil the frog to try to pay off the deficit. But the problem they're having, which is ironic, is that our deficit and debt are increasing even though the inflation rate's going up. It's not supposed to work that way. So they're not capturing, just like what Clinton did was brilliant, right? He forced a sell-off in the stock market, which formed a lot of capital gains, right?
Right.
And which basically balanced the budget. You remember that year? I think you were 9 years old then, and in 91. And so your parents probably told you about it.
Yeah.
But that's what I've expected the Biden administration to do. But I think they're so worried about trying to prick this bubble that he may end up giving himself a Great Depression on his hands. And so I think they're all waiting to the after the election. And that's why 2025, I'm pretty bearish. You know, if Trump wins, it's in his best interest to prick the bubble and blame Biden. If Biden wins, he's going to prick the bubble and blame the rich, right? And then take advantage of the capital gains coming in. But either way, 2025 is going to be a red year. Mm. And so, but from debt standpoint, debt always transfers into inflation. So that's why you went. And this time, look, it's different. People bought real estate in the past because in the 70s, that was a safe place to put your money. The demographics are so different this time. In the 70s, people were forming households. In the 2020s, households are basically deconstructing, right? You know, my kids are out of the house. I'm sitting in a house too big for me. I just like the area. I'm not selling, but I couldn't sell if I wanted to because BlackRock bought all the smaller homes. So now you're in a situation where the price of housing is probably not going to go up. Our kids can't afford it, number one. And number two, if you're an older person, you don't want to sell your house and create a cap gains tax. You want to die and pass it on to your kids, and they get a stepped up basis so they don't have to pay, you know, the cap gains tax on a home. Mm-hmm. So it's going to free up the real estate market. So the only game in town is really the stock market. But for bond yields, because inflation rate and expectations are going up, the yields aren't going down. So there's a big worry that we're going to get a pop in interest rate yields at the 10-year level. And that's usually pretty fatal to the stock market. And that's what we're watching first. And then once that happens, they're going to drop it. You know, right now, everybody's stock market's being pushed up higher because everybody thinks interest rates are falling. Remember, in January, they said March, 80% chance they're going to cut interest rates. Guess what? No interest rate cut. If the earnings consensus is anywhere near what the analysts think it is, then that July cut is at risk because now they're going to push out consensus to August. And you may not even get any cuts in 2024 when at one point they had six to seven, you know, and that's the manipulation you get in the stock market, is that everybody's telling you we're going to 6 to 7 rate cuts. Rate cuts equal higher stock prices, which, by the way, is wrong, but that's what they tell people. And then you get this environment now where they keep you on a string. And in the meantime, guys like Zuckerberg and Bezos and the guy that runs Chase, you know, are all selling out of their stock positions. And when this thing rolls, you're going to get your head handed to you.
Unless, of course, and again, this is me talking, unless, of course, you position yourself ahead of time. Folks, you just heard what Bob was saying. So, in my mind, if I want to survive what is coming in the financial world, I would really prefer to be sitting next to Bob, at least, or being able to have communicate with Bob, so he can help me through times like that. to preserve what little I may have, what little you may have, or what you've to preserve what you've gained. What you said there about 2025, that doesn't mean we all have to go down the crapper, right? I mean, we can position ourselves to anticipate what's going to happen and somewhat protect ourselves. Am I right on that?
Yeah. I mean, look, unless something comes out of left field, the big money always leaves footprints. So just follow the footprints. You know, they know more than I do. They're the ones that create the environment where the algorithm sees it. All I do is react to it. And that's all you can do. You know, big money's never surprised because they cause the surprises. So what you want to do is you just want to watch them. Like I said, all these big guys are selling out. Well, you know, you shouldn't be sitting there saying happy days are here again. You should be like, why are they selling? If it was going to get better, they'd be in it. But they're getting out. And so you have to ask yourself, why are they getting out? You know, are they positioning for lower stock prices so they can buy in more? Or are they truly scared? You know, we don't know. We don't really care. All I know is that people smarter than me are selling out a vast majority of their wealth. Bill Gates sold 65% of his wealth. 65% went to cash.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, he's just one of many, you know, every day you get another billionaire that's shutting down their hedge fund or they're going to cash or selling a vast majority of their portfolio. You know, the good news for guys like you and I could be out tomorrow, right? Those guys can't simply do that. They have to get out over months. And they're creating the environment. It's called sold to you. Okay. That's what they're doing. They're creating an environment called sold to you. But I think we're going to get a rotation first before we get a market collapse. So, and the nice thing about it, everybody says, Bob, don't be doom and gloom. It doesn't matter if I'm doom or gloom. It's there's always a bull market somewhere. So, you know, if things get nasty like it did 2008, you can make 45 to 55% annual return just by buying one stock called TLT, which is the bond fund. You know, so you just can rotate right out of the whatever you're in. You rotate into that ETF. And you sit back, you know, take a vacation and let the market settle itself out. Then you close that trade and you position yourself for the next sector. So there's always a place to move your money. Okay. You just have to make sure you understand what season you're in.
I like this. This gives me hope. And I like to have hope. I like to be able to look forward and say, you know what? We're going to get through this, or we can get through this. Listen to the people who know. And again, one of the people I believe in my heart of hearts that knows is Bob Kudla. And he can direct you properly. Again, his website, TradeGeniusAcademy.com. Folks, go there. What would you say to people, especially with the volatile nature of how things are right now, who might be afraid to take that step to Trade Genius Academy? What would you say to people?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, if you're just afraid of the stock market, you can't be. It's the best asset you can own over time. You just have to be comfortable with the sectors, and we've managed those sectors. Every month, we look at the sectors, the seasonality, and then we look at our algorithm to tell us whether or not that seasonality is ready to buy. And so we're going to get you on the right side of the trades. The other thing that we don't do is we don't chase penny stocks. I rarely give out day trades unless like with Rumble yesterday, it just moved up too far too fast. He had to take profit. And we don't chase the meme names either. So these are good rock solid companies. I own probably 85 to 90% of the trades that I call out. You know, sometimes I just don't have the cash. I just call it the trades for the benefit of the subscribers because I'm fully invested. And I like to tell people things that I own, and I'm building wealth, and I want people to be able to join that with me. Now, if you're afraid of just coming with me, you know, then you just need to check out my track record. You can buy a monthly subscription and kick the tires, you know, and do it in that manner. You know, we've had people with us for a long time. I sent you over some of the attaboys. You know, two people just this last week, one guy said, I'm able to trade full time because of you. You've been with us for 4 years. Another guy popped on and said, I was able to retire because I'm not making enough money trading thanks to you and Trade Genius. And so we feel pretty good about what we do. Look, we're white hat kind of people. You know, we eat our own dog food, meaning that we're trading what we're telling you, and we're very transparent. So whether I win on a trade or lose on a trade, you're going to know it. And there's very little, there's no excuses. You lose, you win, you know, and that's the nice thing about trading stocks. That's what we do. And it's a good community. We're all like-minded people. Obviously, I'm on your show. So people that are going to join my service kind of believe kind of what you do for the most part. So it's a really fun environment to have conversations in the room when the markets are slow. Usually the first 2 hours of the day is when most of the action is. And then things kind of quiet down till the end of the day. And so we have some really good discussions. People have made lifelong friendships. You know, we do training a couple times a year face-to-face. And we had a group where they actually created a group chat from the trading room outside of me because people made really good friendships. And that, to me, that's so gratifying.
We're a lot alike. It happens here as well with our people. Folks, I want to draw your attention to the screen. Take a look at what some of the feedback is. What is that? Took profit on Rumble, I guess, ahead of
earnings? Yeah, Rumble, yeah.
Okay, all right. Nice trade. Stopped a Rumble, great trade, made 9%. I'll tell you what, you can't. We're also going to make 9% today. And again, folks, we're talking about something that is going to help you not just survive, but potentially thrive through the times in which we find ourselves. You know, we just can't sit around and do nothing. So this is an option for everyone out there. And I really, I'm telling you, take advantage of the specials that they have. Pick your what fits you the best. Go to TradeGeniusAcademy.com. There it is on your screen. Go there.
Yeah, we have these specials running, Dan. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
That the Saturday, they're 65% off. Those are pre-discounted prices. And look, what we charge for the service is nothing to what you get out of it. You know, I mean, look, if you put 1,000 shares on that Rumble trade and you made 9%, you made $900. That's 3 years worth of the service. You know, so, you know, we're just reasonable in what we do. So the other interesting about our service is that the people in the rooms, that if you join the VIP room, which does cost more, you know, you're in with people. We have people that are in the energy business. We have people that are in the tech business. We have people that were tech executives. You know, I also was a tech executive, you know, and so we have insight, you know, in terms of certain sectors of the market, and these guys share their trades too. So, you know, you get these environments where people will say, hey, you know, this is a really good environment. One guy in the energy space said, Bob, the crack spreads are blowing out, which means buy the refiners. If you took at the refinery charts, you know, these stocks went up 15-20% over a month. You can't get that insight from, you know, from just a general old trading, you know, trading service. You know, we got some gravitas in the room. And if you like crypto, my partner that trades crypto was a crypto miner, Bitcoin miner, back in the very early beginnings. And so he knows how to trade and add and short and help people build a long-term portfolio in the crypto space. And it's a really good environment to be in the crypto room, or you could be in the trading room, you could be in both rooms, you could be in the VIP room, or you can just get training. And I think you'll like it a lot. You know, we really, really help people make, I would say, even more than making good trades, we just help people make good decisions about managing their portfolio. In fact, we had somebody wrote that to me, said, Bob, we like your trades, but we like, more importantly, we like your the insight in which you guys give, and you're just good people. And I'll end it with that. Enough bragging about myself. So I hope you guys would take a look at us.
I like to say, regardless of how young you are, old you are, how rich or how much money you might have or how little. TradeGeniusAcademy.com, that's the place to go. I'm telling you, I love it, and I appreciate what you do. I really do. I think helping people is one of the greatest things, and you help a lot of people, and I thank you for it.
Well, thank you. I'm getting a hook here. That's why I was looking at my phone. But I guess it's 9 o'clock. I got to run if you don't mind.
God bless. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'll catch up with you. Have a good night.